1 John chapter number 1 is where we'll begin again tonight as we've been studying walking in the light, and where it's really walking in the light and the love of Christ, but we're walking in the light of what God has given John through the Holy Spirit to write to the church. And we've been on this a few weeks now, and we're looking at how the church is supposed to walk and follow Christ and the example that He left us. And we've seen already that there was questions in the church. There was a time in the church, and it's really just about 60 years since Christ arose from the grave and ascended back into heaven. There's already questions in the church about, did Jesus really come? Was Jesus real? Was He really here? And John, as the last apostle that's alive, is writing to the church and he's saying, He was here. I walked with Him. I heard Him. I saw Him. I saw the miracles. I touched Him. He is God and He was here. So he's trying to encourage the church to walk in the light and not to believe all this false doctrine and this false teaching that's floating around through this late first century here in the land of the Holy Land and also north of the Holy Land into Asia Minor. But before we read into our verses, we'll be at verse 5 tonight and 6 and 7. But just think back to your childhood for just a moment. How many of us prefer the darkness when we were a child? Usually a child is terrified of the darkness. I remember my nightlight, and I had to have that nightlight, and I had to be able to see it. I can remember it clearly. I don't know where that nightlight went, but I remember that nightlight. When we were children, we had that fear of the darkness. You know, check the closet, check under the bed, check behind the curtains. So we would put light in our room to dispel the darkness, or at least part of the darkness. Now I like a pitch black room. I like it as dark as I can get it. Blackout curtains on the windows. I just like it dark. You know, when a hurricane comes and we lose power, we try to prevent the darkness in our home with candles, with flashlights, with our cell phones. And with, if you have them, hurricane lamps or oil lamps. When we're out on a hike out in the woods and it's a beautiful sunny day and all of a sudden the dark clouds roll in, we know our hike is over. It's time to head to the car. When we get to that certain age, and I'm approaching it now, when we get to that certain age, we don't even like to drive in the dark. The headlights hurt our eyes, or we have a hard time seeing the roads. I don't know, something about the paint they put on the asphalt now, it looks like the darkness absorbs that paint. You cannot see the lines. Or I'm just me. No, you see it too, brother? You can't see it. It's just, where's that line? I think they've done something different to the paint. But as we get back to 1 John now, and we're starting to look at this passage of Scripture. And we're looking at verses 5 in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 and 7. John is going forward talking about walking in the light. We are going to hear John talking about darkness and light. This is really a theme that runs throughout the first Epistle of John, 1 John. It's not just in this one chapter, it runs throughout this book. So as we launch off here in the next 3 weeks or so, we'll be talking about light and darkness as we move through these verses. But before we go any further, let's ask the Lord to speak with us tonight, meet with us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this group of people that's here tonight and those that are watching through Ustream, YouTube, and Facebook. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would speak to us and teach us, instruct us, and help us on this great subject of light and darkness. Thank you for preserving it in the Word of God that we might learn from it. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we saw previously, John is trying to encourage the church. Jesus was here. He is God. He didn't become God. He is God. And He came in the flesh. He's the last of the apostles that are alive at this time, and He's encouraged them. I was there. This week, John's talking more about what it means for us not only to know God, but to walk with God. So he's going to explain to the church how to know you're walking with God. So he begins by describing light and darkness. Let's look again at 1 John now in verse 5 of chapter 1. This then is the message which we have heard of him. Him there is Jesus. And declare unto you that God is light. He's not a light. He is light. He is the light. And in Him, in God, is no darkness at all. That's pretty emphatic. It goes on in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. John is speaking straightforward. He does this throughout of his writings. He is a straight shooter. He tells you how it is. He doesn't try to hide it through any type of symbolism. He's just talking and telling you, I want you to get this, so I'm going to put it down here so everyone can hear it and understand it. John wants us to know that God is 100% light. Not 99.99%. No, He is 100% light. Says in Him is no darkness at all. That literally means absolutely zero. No darkness in God. If we would walk the grocery store aisles tonight together, and we would try to point without reading labels what juices or what boxes of ingredients or what any type of canned good or box goods, which one was 100% natural? Which one was 100% what it says it is? Great example is juices. It says it's 100% juice. You turn it over and read the ingredients. It's not 100% juice. It might have juice in it, but it's not 100% juice. Crab meat is another great example. If you wanted to make crab cakes or something of that nature and you go to the seafood portion of the grocery store and you're saying there is a canister, a bin of crab meat, it's not crab meat. Not unless it's a very premium type of product that you're buying. Usually it's artificial crab meat. It's not really crab. Crab's expensive. So what are we eating? We think what we're getting is 100% what we're buying. How about maple syrup? How much sugar is in added to maple syrup? We're not putting a plug into a tree up in Canada and getting pure maple syrup. Very rare. There is out there, but you're going to have to read the ingredients. You're going to have to research it. You have to identify it. So if we would go through the grocery store together as we do our shopping and we had to read every label to find out, is this really 100% juice? Is this really 100% maple syrup? Is this really 100% crab meat? Is this really 100% cheese? We would be in the store a long time. And I don't like to be in store that long. I'm sure you don't either. John has put a label here for us, an identifying label for us here about God in verse 5. He said, This then is the message which we have heard of Him. It's straight from God. And we are going to declare it unto you that God is light. He's not was light. He's not a light. He is light. And in Him is no, how much? No darkness at all. John is telling us, you can be assured, just as Christ came and He lived here on the earth and He came in the flesh, you can also guarantee that God is light and there's no darkness in Him. God is light in that He reveals all that we see. If He did not create light back in the days of creation, we'd be here in darkness. God is light in that there is only truth in Him. There is no falsehoods in God. There's no broken promises with God. It's all truth. It's all light. God is perfect. God is holy. God is powerful. God is just. God is righteous. And in front of all of those adjectives, we can put God is perfectly good. God is perfectly holy. God is perfectly powerful. God is perfectly just. God is perfectly righteous. There's no darkness in Him. There is nothing bad. There is nothing wrong. Nothing that needs to be hidden. There is no evil in God. He's all light. Light is the nature and the character of God. He is light. Now, light is not God. God is light. You say, well, it doesn't really matter. Oh, yes, it does. If we said light is God, then the Egyptians worshiping the sun god Ra would be right. But God, light is not God. God is light. All light comes from Him. All light comes from God. So, well, these bulbs run on electricity. Where did the electricity come from? God. Where did the minds come from that thought up incandescent bulbs or high-definition bulbs or these LED bulbs? God gave the brains and the thought to be able to create it. All light comes from God. Who created the sun? God. Who created the moon? God. Who created all the stars? God. Scientists have studied light extensively for hundreds of years. They've analyzed it. They've broken it down into its spectrum so we know the colors of the spectrum of light. We can take fractional portions of light and we can use it for various purposes. We've timed light. We've measured its speed. We know that it's the fastest known type of measurement in the universe. If you've ever had an X-ray, it is from light. If you've ever seen a laser beam, it's light. Light can do amazing things and phenomenal things. But there's really three basic functions of light. And they tell us something about God. The first function of light is a characteristic of light. It's the thing we enjoy at this very moment about light. And probably one of the first discoverable facts about light. Light reveals. If light did not reveal tonight, we'd be sitting in a dark room. And you would hear my voice, but you couldn't see me. I'd probably fall off the platform. That's why I stand behind here, just in case the lights go off. Light reveals. If there was no light, darkness would encompass this space. Darkness conceals. Light reveals. This is the very first primary function of light. It's revealing nature. It enables us to see things that have been there all the time, but until light's on it, we don't know it's there. This is exactly what John is speaking about here about God. God reveals. He is light, and He reveals things. God, through Christ, opened the eyes of the heart and the mind, and life can focus clearly, and without distortion, without deception, we can see. It's often through our life a gradual process. If you've been saved any number of years, you can look back at your life at certain instances, certain situations, certain events in your life, and you say, I do not understand why that happened. When we were back there, we didn't understand. When it was happening, we did not understand. But now we look back, God starts revealing things to us. This is why that happened. This is why this occurred in your life. It was for your good and you didn't know it, but I knew it. He's revealing things for us and to us. The purpose of light is to reveal, and God, as light, reveals. He reveals to us our need of a Savior. He reveals to us our need for direction and guidance. He reveals to us our need for strength apart from ourselves. He reveals to us our need of a perfect example to follow. He reveals to us our need to separate from the carnal and move towards the eternal. He reveals to us through our lives why He does certain things. Some things He doesn't reveal, but some He does. Light reveals. But that's not only the only quality of light, the only characteristic of light. Another primary function of light is not only that it reveals, but it also measures. Have you ever seen a person in a Home Depot or a Lowe's store or a lumber yard, and they pick up a board and they turn it so that all they're looking at's the edge. And they're holding it up and they're sighting along the board. What are they doing? They're trying to see if the board is straight or is it crooked. What reveals that to them? Light. Light reveals that. He is measuring against a ray of light because light is straight. And anything that does not correspond to the light is crooked. Light measures. Light is the most common measuring stick in the universe. We measure whether things are straight or crooked by light. Take a surveyor. You've seen surveyors out on roads and in subdivisions and out in fields, and they'll have their tripod and they'll have instruments on the tripod. And there's another gentleman or lady out in the middle of a field somewhere else, and they've got a stick and they're holding up the stick, and on the end of the stick is a receiver. And what they are doing is they're measuring distance. They're measuring angles to see whether they are up or down from their point of reference, or if they're high or low, or if they're right or left. They can zero in by light. This little instrument they look through, it looks like a little telescope, and it is using light to measure. and the vast, unlimited reaches of space. The only adequate measuring stick we have is light years, a distance measured by the speed of light. This is what light does. How does it relate to God? How does it relate to God measuring as light? Well, God is a measuring stick. He is the measuring stick. He is the standard. Everything else relies on God. He is the point of reference. You can use the Word of God. You can use God Himself to measure everything. Men have forever sought to solve puzzles of life. They have looked in economic life, they have looked in political life, they have studied social life, they have studied scientific life, they have studied psychological life. And whatever it may be, they are confronted with mysteries, puzzles, wherever they turn. Questions that cannot be answered. As these intellects seek to search out the solution to these mysteries and these puzzles, they come up with proposed solutions. Some are contradictory, some are supplementary, others are just absolute absurd. Some are just idiotic. Some, though, are practical. Some are appealing. Every one of us facing this mass of information back to us from these intellects are to make a decision. Are we going to believe the intellects about these things, these mysteries, these unsolved problems that they say they have the solution to? We have to decide. What are we going to do with this information? You think back to the late 1800s and Charles Darwin writing his book on the origin of species. And he is writing to tell us that there is a thing called evolution. When that was published, the mindset of the world was looking for answers. And many accepted without question. But there was a remnant that said, this is false. This is not practical. This is absurd. The Bible says they had to choose. God is the measuring stick of evolution. And it does not measure up with God. How do I know that the answers to the problems and the mysteries that have been provided are accurate, are real, are truthful? Where can I get a measuring stick that I can apply to this data, to this information, to these voices that I'm hearing? It's God and His Word. God and His Word is the standard by which all things are measured. Light not only its primary function is to reveal, but it's also to measure, but it also is to energize. Light energizes. This is probably the most dramatic quality of light. It imparts life. It activates life. It quickens life. If plants in your home do not get the sunlight they need, they're going to die. If trees do not get the sunlight they need and the nutrient they need from the sunlight, they're going to die. God is light. And God intensifies, God fulfills, God activates, God quickens, God imparts life. God does not destroy life. He imparts life. He takes life and He leads life on through the darkness into the ever-growing experience of vitality of life by energizing lives to walk in the light, to walk in His light. Many of us that live on this earth have lost the vision of light. And for them, life has become dull. Life has become meaningless. Life has become mundane. Life has become increasingly despairing. I read the testimony of a young man who was trained as a scientist and had an exciting job exploring the frontiers of the universe with radio wave telescopes. But his life was empty. His life was hollow. His life was dull. His life was meaningless. His job that had been so exciting to him had now become mundane. And he was just going through the motions. Then he found Christ. He was introduced to the light. Now his life is filled with constant excitement. And he is a challenge to young college students up and down the West Coast. God is greatly using him to convey the light of God through his studies of the universe. And he is an energizing sense of vitality that God is using. He got plugged into the light. He said, well, I know someone, or maybe even myself, I used to have that excitement. I used to have that vitality. I used to be energized for Christ. But life has become meaningless. I am going through the motions. Life is dull. Life is mundane. What's wrong with a mass of Christianity today? Why is it that not all Christians are fully energized and excited and full of life? Why is it that Christians we so often meet are not happy and joyful, but critical and harsh and negative and almost repelling from them? If God is light and He can energize lives, why does it only seem to happen to a small group of Christians in our eyes? Well, that question is being asked by not only the church, but by the world itself. And the Bible gives us the answer. Notice with me verse 6. If we, he's talking to the church, he's talking to believers. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and the Him is God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. John goes to the point here of the message, and he's saying we need to examine ourselves and see if we're more in the darkness than we are in the light. You say, well, Christians can't walk in the darkness. Well, he just says here to the Christians that you're walking in darkness. We can walk in darkness. We can choose not to walk in the light, even though we are part of the family of God. We have a tendency, Christians do, through our words, through our actions, through our thoughts, through our deeds, to block God's light. We put up that proverbial umbrella. As we are supposed to be walking this Christian journey, walking in the light, we have put up this proverbial umbrella to block the light of God. Because we have decided the darkness is a little more fun. The darkness is a little more enjoyable. The darkness gives me excitement. The darkness gives me thrills. Only for a time. Only for a season. As we put up this proverbial umbrella to block out the light of God, we're blocking His healing. We're blocking His cleansing. We're blocking His glorifying. We're blocking His fulfillment to change us into the image of Christ. God is light and He always reveals truth. Sometimes we don't want truth revealed in our lives. We like this little patch of darkness that we keep. God says there's no darkness in me. So if you walk in the light, you're one of mine. If you walk in the darkness, you have lied. You are not unsaved. You are just enjoying the darkness more than the light. God as light, as He reveals truth, He measures our life. And the Holy Spirit of God's convicting, drawing, wooing us to God. But we put up that umbrella to block it. God is the standard. God is the reference point. And His Word is the reference point. And we're supposed to be reading our Bible, but if we start reading our Bible, the light is shining and we're like, oh, I don't want to see that. I don't want to know that truth. He can use you for His glory if you walk in the light. But He will only cleanse and heal and bless and glorify Himself and reveal truth to you if you're walking in the light. We have to put the umbrellas down. We cannot hide ourselves from the light of God. John goes on to say that God is so full of light and so absent of darkness that if we claim we are walking with God and following God and there's darkness in our lives, we are lying to ourselves and we're lying to God. Remember, He knows us better than we know ourselves. Remember, John is writing to a church that's debating if God in the has come in the flesh. If Jesus really came to the earth. If Jesus is really God. John has got to the point in this verses of 5, 6, and 7 where he says, God is so absent of darkness that it's easy to tell if you're following Him. Do you have darkness in your life? Or do you have no darkness in your life? Now, we can't be perfect. We'll only be perfect when we get to heaven. But there should be so much light in our lives that darkness is dispelled. Darkness is pushed aside. What price are we willing to pay to have a conscience that is clear before God? We must overcome our natural inclination, our fleshly inclination, to hide our shame and to come to the light no matter the cost. There's three lessons we'll wrap up here tonight. There's three lessons about walking in the light. The first is if we hide our hurts, it will hurt us. If we hide our hurts, it will hurt us. There's some truth to the statement that you're only as sick as your darkest secret. That's true for the person who has sinned as well as the person who's been sinned against. Those who have been victims of injustice are now could become bitter and vindictive towards those that hurt them. They must both come to the light. Of course, coming to the light means different things for different people. For all of us, it means honesty before God. You must be honest with yourself to God. A humble facing of your thoughts, of your desires, of your actions, of your fears, of your deeds. How shameful they might be if we keep it in. If we block it behind that umbrella, God can't cleanse us. God can't heal us. God can't bless and use us for His glory. The purpose is not simply of light to expose darkness. The purpose is to enjoy being in the light. We're to enjoy being in the light. How long has it been since you enjoy doing the things of God? Maybe you are hiding some dark, secret things from God. God already knows. There are no secrets from God. You're just hiding them from yourself. The second lesson of walking in the light is light and darkness can't exist in the same place. They can't coexist. If we had turned off all the lights and we put a candle in here and lit it, it's not 100% dark in here anymore. I've taught a message years ago on light. And it was based on being a light for Christ. And the premise and the summary of the lesson, the message was, what kind of light are you for God? Are you a dim, battery-weakened pen light? Are you a flashlight that uses AA batteries? Are you a flashlight that uses 4D batteries? Are you a flashlight that has one of those great big 9-volt batteries? Those are those big batteries. Or are you a light like we see at the premieres of an opening of a building or an opening of a theater and these huge lights that shine the beam of light up into the heavens? What kind of light are you for God? Light and darkness can't coexist in the same space. When we see light, we must either move toward it or move back into the shadows. If we choose to retreat into the shadows of darkness, our hearts will become harder. We'll become more comfortable in the darkness than in the light. How do people start missing church, and then they don't even come? It doesn't start with just one Sunday, so I'm done with church. No, it starts with one step. I don't really need to go on Sunday night. Or I don't really need to go on Wednesday night to Connection Group. I can watch it on the TV. And pretty soon, they start missing a couple services. Then they start missing a Sunday morning. Oh, I'm going to the beach. I'm going to the mountains. I've got a ball game. Pretty soon, church is not the priority. Everything else has become the priority. And church has become secondary. And before you know it, you're no longer attending church. Satan loves that. He loves it. Paul is describing this in 1 Timothy 4:2, where he says they have had their conscience seared with a hot iron. They've cauterized the indifference of their brain. They don't want the light of God. They want the darkness. We should not be surprised that among the truly evil of our day and past generations, at one time many walked in the light. But they have rejected and rejected and rejected light. Put up the umbrella and stepped into the shadows of darkness. The third lesson about walking in the light is the question is not whether we have come to the light. That's not the question. The question is whether we are walking in the light. I pray you've come to the light. If you have not, let us know. We'll help you know how to come to the light of God. But if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you have come to the light. Now the question is, are you walking in the light? Sometimes when someone falls into sin, we ask, well, did they repent? We become very judgmental. The question should be, are they repenting? It's a constant thing. It's a constant battle. The person who has come to the light in the past might be walking in darkness today, and as they come to the light, it's just a first step. They have to make that step every day. I'm going to choose to walk in the light. I'm going to choose to walk in the light. I'm not going to put up that proverbial umbrella. I want God's healing. I want God's cleansing. I want God's blessings. The fact is that every believer should be walking in the light greater every day. We should be growing stronger about our faith and our walk with Christ. And every day it should be a more of a walk in Christ, more of a walk in the light than it was yesterday. Life is a journey. It's not a destination. Life's a journey. Heaven's the destination. We need to keep our accounts with God and with others current. When you know you have sinned against God, you need to confess it. You need to repent it right then. Just stop and ask God to forgive you. Don't postpone. Don't hide it from God. Coming to the light is always worth it. Not just to clear our conscience, but to have that satisfying, joyful relationship with God. In His presence, which is light, we can be cleansed, we can be healed, we can be forgiven, we can be blessed. So let's choose to walk in the light more tomorrow than we did today. Let's choose to walk more in the light and not in the shadows of darkness. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. It's one that we all could step a little closer to the light. Lord, I pray that you would help us as believers to realize the darkness that we're trying to hide from you, and to come clean before you, to pull down the umbrellas, the barricades, the blocks, and to just let you cleanse us and heal us, to bless us, to glorify yourself through us. Use us, Lord, for your glory, and help us to walk more tomorrow than we did today in the light of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.